Welcome, welcome back. I know it's been about a year since my last episode, but you know, I've been juggling with university, juggling with work, and to be quite honest, I'm trapped in the same survival mode as every other American in this nation. So what's gone on? Well, to be quite honest, quite a few things. You know, obviously we had the COVID pandemic, we had the lockdowns, we had everything ensuing there. And then, as time went on, we moved away from talking about the largest transfer of wealth in history, unironically, from the poor to the poor and working class to the rich. And now we have transitioned to Russia versus Ukraine. Now, on the surface level, you know, just for clarification for those that know or don't know or want a quick background, Russia and Ukraine are, you know, have ethnic tensions. That's undeniable. Having said that, the current state where Russia sent troops and tanks and such into Ukraine is not, as the mainstream media wants to believe, just, you know, evil Russia invading poor Ukraine. The reality is much darker. In 2014, the Obama administration funded a coup. Now, why did they fund a coup? They funded a coup in Ukraine to overthrow, and I believe I'm mispronouncing this president's name right, President Yanukovych, because he wanted to keep Ukraine as a neutral buffer zone between the West, which was, you know, which is the United States, Europe, the rest of NATO, and Russia. He wanted to keep it as a neutral buffer zone. Because of that, he was overthrown. He was overthrown, and what got put in was, quite frankly, the worst elements of the far right. Now, I'm not talking about conservatives, the far right, you know, all the, whatever the liberals call somebody who disagrees with their narrative, whatever the, you know, here your conservative uncle just happens to believe in Jesus or whatever. It's, that's not what that is. I'm talking hardline, ardent, hard right, we want to preserve the race, right wing neo-Nazis, unironic neo-Nazis, most notified in the form of the Azov Battalion, which is a battalion that ended up taking a very deep level of running the country in Ukraine. Okay, move on. But there were still elections and things like that. The U.S. was still involved and still is to this day, which leads us to this. In 2019, Volodymyr Zelensky, the current president of Ukraine, got elected. And he got elected by, you know, he got elected for one reason or another. He got elected and he was interviewed on TV basically stating he would respect the rights of ethnic Russians. Now, why is this important? Ethnic Russians living in what is now known to be Eastern Ukraine, the Donbass, the Donetsk region, and they've been wanting to be independent for a long time, similar to what happened in Crimea a few years before that. So that Donetsk region, the Donbass, that region decided to secede, decided to break away. The Ukrainian army went in and shelled the whole region, you know, shot anyone and everyone. And what the people in there decided to do was form what's called people's militias. So they formed militias and they're fighting against the Ukrainian army that was trying to level them, level from about 2014 to 2019 to now. Now, during the backdrop of this, after that coup in 2014, Russia and Ukraine sat down with the help of Germany, France, and a few other countries and tried to make the Minsk Accords, Minsk being the capital of Belarus. And in the Minsk Accords, one of them was a reiteration of the promise made to Yeltsin in the 90s that NATO would not try to get Ukraine into NATO, because then it would be an escalation. Then it would be an act of war. Then it would be NATO being literally on Russia's doorstep. For those that don't know, Russia and Ukraine are literally right next to each other. So that promise was made and, you know, that agreement was signed. But as time has gone on, especially with the coup before and with the support to Ukraine, as we see now in the news, that promise has not been kept. It is an open secret that Ukraine is being helped by the United States. And I mean that quite literally. Now, why is this all important? Well, This is important because the billions and billions of dollars that the United States has sent to Ukraine, whether in military aid, financial aid, all sorts of aid, food aid, so on and so forth, they're doing it because they're getting an investment. The military-industrial complex is doing this because they're getting an investment. They're doing this because they have a strong desire to basically see NATO as, you know, an expansion. Because at this point, NATO and the U.S. are one and the same. That's what it boils down to. What nobody wants to talk about is the fact that billions of dollars are being funneled all the while the people are starving. That's what nobody wants to discuss. How can a country that sends billions in foreign aid, military weapons, and everything in between to multiple other countries, not just Ukraine, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, all different countries. Quite frankly, nobody, and I mean nobody, realizes just how detrimental that is to the country. Rewind forward. World's dealing with Russia versus Ukraine on some level, and you can be for or against either side. That's a whole different story. I'm not going to get into it right now. But again, you have to realize that if you're investing all your time and money and energy into helping foreign countries, your own house tends to suffer. Recently, there was a train derailment of vinyl chloride and other chemicals in a little town called East Palestine, Ohio. No, that's not a joke. That's actually the name. And this leads to a joke about there being no coincidences. East Palestine, Ohio. Chemical train derailed badly and sent basically a black mushroom cloud into the sky because the derailment happened. Things got set on fire and there was not only did the chemicals leak into the water, they leaked into the air. Instead of immediately coming and at least trying to show support, trying to say we'll find a way to do this, trying to work with FEMA, and so on and so forth, especially because the federal government can and does take, there's a supremacy clause written in the Constitution of the United States of America in which the federal government can and will step in, if need be, over the objections of the state government. We can argue about that another day. But in that case, that could have happened if there was any genuine need. But what's the first place our current President Biden goes to? Ukraine. This is going to be the theme. In times of crisis, you see who people really are. You see who people really support. In a time of crisis, that is the time when people show and reveal who and what they really are. Right? Especially with regards to certain issues. Certain issues, especially in the past couple of years, have been made or almost tailor-made to make people drop the mask and reveal who and what they are. Right? People drop the mask and reveal who and what they really are. I believe the COVID mandates were one of the issues, right? The COVID mandates, again, where you had to take your vaccine to go to not just to concerts, not just to school, not just to, you know, anywhere else, to work or to do anything in life. And you have to show that everywhere. And I believe that the trucker convoy was one of them. The objections and the mandates and so on and so forth is one of them. I firmly believe the aid to Ukraine is one of them. Notice I didn't say support to Ukraine. You can support Ukraine all you want. That's your prerogative and so on and so forth. But you have to recognize that a nation known for empire building and getting involved in countries in which it has no business being involved in is probably not a good thing. And I also believe that how you react to disasters in your own country speaks volumes as well. All this to say, the United States has zero business in Ukraine or, quite frankly, anywhere else. The U.S. has over 600 military bases in multiple countries all over the world. And to be quite honest, we don't need any of it. We unironically don't. We have a multitude of issues in our own country. The reason why that train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, was because decades of infrastructure never being updated, repaired, fixed, nothing. The train tracks were, quite frankly, about to derail anyway. This just made it significantly worse. But the way the train tracks were, that chemical train should never have been on that. And yet, because of profit, because of the company called Norfolk Southern that wanted to just get the chemicals there no matter what, because this country decided to invest more in war and empire and bloodshed than investing in the health or safety of their own people. I'm an American. Yeah, I'm of European heritage, sure. Mediterranean heritage, sure. But this is my nation. These are my people, regardless of color. And I'm continually angered at the fact that my nation is being left to rot by scumbags who know nothing of hunger, who know nothing of starvation, who only see the dollar signs that they can make off of us, to only see how they can make you and me and everyone in this country numbers on a board. And that's really the problem, isn't it? For a while, you assumed this was ignorance. For a while, you assumed maybe they genuinely didn't know. Maybe they didn't understand what was going on. And then you see an old Joe Biden speech from, I believe, the 90s, early 90s, because it was right after the Soviet Union broke up, where he openly expressed, hey, if NATO were to step into Ukraine, that would be an escalation. Russia would respond. And if they knew this in the 90s, you have to realize that they probably knew this now, right? If Joe Biden was able to say that in the early 90s, he could and should have been able to say it right now. And yet, he's in Ukraine, hugging and shaking hands with Zelensky, while the people of East Palestine, Ohio, are left to die, left to rot, are left to not know where they're going to be for the next few days. If they're lucky, they have money for a hotel. If not, they're sleeping in their car, the street, their friend's house, family's house. And that's if the water isn't already contaminated, which more than likely, from the way the chemicals ran off, it probably is. You can't even boil the water because the chemicals are interfering with the water so badly, it's leading to strange bubbles and a strange smell. So you can forget about trying to shower, trying to bathe, try to eat, try to even have clean drinking water. You can forget about all of that. But this country will send billions, will send wells, will send pumps to other countries, but leave our own to die. In a crisis, you see who people really are. And after years of thinking the people at the top, the politicians, the Democrats, the Republicans, and so on and so forth, were just ignorant or just didn't know or just weren't aware, no, these people went to elite schools. These people have money to have access to information on the drop of a hat. These people have resources that you and I don't have, working man, working woman. So no, it's no longer about incompetence. At this point, honestly, it's being done on purpose. Why? Well, they can't profit off of you, American. They can't profit off of me, other American. The same way these business people and these CEOs shipped good middle-class manufacturing jobs to China, the Philippines, India, Vietnam. And again, I'm not bashing those countries. I don't need to. They did what they had to do. They did what they needed to do. They did what they thought was right. If someone comes to you and says, hi, I have a great opportunity, set up this factory, you know, and it'll make you rich. It'll benefit the country. Let's be honest. Most nations, including ours, most people, including us, would take that offer 99% of the time. I'm blaming the businessmen. I'm blaming the CEOs. I'm blaming the scumbag corporations. I'm blaming the people at Raytheon, at all these other military-industrial complexes. If you don't believe me, if you don't comprehend what's really going on, consider this. It is a public fact that our current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, came quite literally directly from Raytheon. He was sitting on the board of Raytheon. And for those that don't understand or comprehend what Raytheon is, it is a significantly large military slash defense contractor. So they're providing weapons. They're providing, you know, they're building weapons. They're providing weapons to the military. And if you can kind of start seeing the pieces fit, right? The military industrial complex, the people who are supporting Ukraine or doing all this to Ukraine, have a legitimate invested interest in seeing what's going on in Ukraine and supporting Ukraine and making Ukraine part of NATO eventually, in involving military aid and all of that to Ukraine. That's what nobody wants to talk about. much to chew on that. But before I go, before I say I'll be around, I'll just say this. None of that benefits us. I don't care what side of the aisle you fall on. None of that benefits us. And I mean that unironically. None of that benefits us. You and I, fellow man, fellow working woman, we're being left to die by a cabal of people that have never deserved their jobs, never deserved the power that is vested in them by us, by we the people. And quite frankly, things need to change. Or this country will go to hell in a handbasket if it hasn't already. Or gasoline will be poured on the fire that this country is already becoming. Why do you think, after Occupy Wall Street happened in the mid-2000s, early 2010s, suddenly around 2012, we started hearing significantly more about racial issues? Now, that's not to downplay or deny that there are racial issues in this country. There are, same as in every other country. What nobody wants to talk about is the fact that it's become amplified, augmented. They're making you focus on racial issues. Why? Again, benefits them. If your white neighbor, your black neighbor is fighting with your Asian neighbor, is fighting with your Latino neighbor, when you all make the same amount of money at the end of the year, the reality is you're not going to care much about, you know, if you're made to fight others, you're not going to care much about, you know, what's going on in another world, what these elites are doing, right? And I've learned a very long time ago that everything people attribute to quote-unquote white privilege is in reality rich privilege. Because let some poor trailer trash do the same thing that white people are accused of doing frequently, and that person will be in jail in a heartbeat. So what does that mean? It means there's something beyond race. It's class. It's what it always was, and it's what we are seeing. East Palestine, Ohio is a poor manufacturing town, not a lot of people. So why would the rich government of this country care, right? Why is the world more concerned about small town in Ohio than our own government? Because our government can't profit from it, but they can profit from Ukraine, right? And there's your answer. So the question then becomes, what can you do about it? Well, granted, we're all in survival mode. We're being put in survival mode. We're being made to constantly focus on survival, constantly focus on race, constantly focus on culture war issues. When the reality is, we would have a much significantly better culture if people weren't so focused on starving, not starving, right? So let me let you chew on that one and leave you with this. What you can do, spread the information around. Educate people in a friendly and meaningful way. Prove that whatever views you hold are better than the mainstream, better than the alternative. I have my views, but I try not to shove them down people's throats. Why? Because I've been on the receiving end of that. And to be quite honest, that never appealed to me. I'm not a zealot as much as I sometimes want to be. I'm not a zealot. I understand people have lives and things that they need to do. All I ask is that you think. All I've ever asked is that you think. Is that you think about what's going on in the world around you. And that you spread the information that you have as far and wide as possible to as many people as possible. Because that's what it's going to take. A mass movement of the masses by the masses. Of the people for the people by the people. That is what it's going to take. And that's one of the few powers that we as working class people have left. And they're rapidly trying to take that away from us by splintering us into 1,000 different groups. I'll give you a good example, though. I'll leave this on a good note. Recently, February 19th, in Washington, D.C., there was an anti-war rally. There hasn't been any major anti-war rallies since quite literally the early 2000s when people were protesting against the initial invasion of Iraq. There was anywhere from about 2 to 5,000 people, give or take. But it was 2 to 5,000 people taking that day off, getting bus rides, driving down there. And then there were many, 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 many more thousands spreading that information from that rally, sharing it, supporting it, watching the live stream of that rally. And you had people from literally across the political spectrum. You had ardent communists, You had ardent communists there. You had progressives like Jimmy Dore. You had Tulsi Gabbard, who at this point is an independent politician. You had Ron Paul, who's been a libertarian for almost decades. You have had multiple people there from all different political stripes. Garland Nixon, who's a progressive slash communist. Many, many people from all over the political spectrum. You may have even had a couple of former... former or current right-wingers who are still against this war because even they are relatively intelligent enough to recognize, hey, this isn't good for any of us. So I'm proud of that. I wasn't able to make it out there myself, but I'm still very proud of that rally that happened, and there needs to be significantly more. And yes, it was a small turnout, but again, there hasn't been an anti-war rally in, God, 20 years now. So let this be the spark. Let this be the tinder. Let this be the kindling of a brand new flame that arises. And now I'll leave it on that good note. I'll be around.